It is 12:30 here in Port Townsend. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM. I am Taylor Clark, and I am here for Bureaucracy Now! With my co-host, John Morrow, City Manager of Port Townsend. Hi, John.
Hey, Taylor. How are you?
I am doing good. We had John Kleiss. You know, he's a former mayor.
Yeah.
And that was him voicing that spot there. For the benefit of listeners who are perhaps, you know, haven't been here with Bureaucracy Now! From the start, as you have, I thought I might just take a minute and do a little introduction on what Bureaucracy Now! Is.
Hey.
Does that sound good? Can Papa Smurf tell a story?
Papa Smurf can tell a story as long as, who would I be? Maybe I shouldn't ask.
I don't know. I actually never watched the Smurfs, but that was my nickname at work. Because I told stories.
I still want to play my co-host card in case there's something that might be contestable. But I trust you to go for it.
Jump in if I get it wrong. I was going to actually look at you at different parts in it and see. So I just want to say, so we're here with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. And the history of Bureaucracy Now! is that when John started as city manager in the fall of 2019, is that? Yes.
November 1st.
He heard, I believe, from citizens, from electeds, and I think from his own sense of the way he wanted to do his job, that communication with citizens was important to him. And so initially, John planned on going out and going to coffee houses, different coffee house every Friday. And then he would take all comers. You could come in and join him and talk about what was going on with the city. And that worked out great for about 5 coffee houses.
We did it for about, I don't know, 4 months, I think.
Oh, did it went a little longer than that. And then COVID, hit. And then once COVID hit, it wasn't so great. And so John took his show over here to KPTZ and joined Tim Quackenbush each Thursday morning as part of Discovery Road. This was in the spring of 2020. And then Bureaucracy Now! Moved to its own dedicated time slot here at 12:30 until just before 1 o'clock. And so you have now John Morrow co-hosting with me, Taylor Clark, and we're going to be discussing city politics and projects and directions, and we encourage members of the public to join in this. And I thought I might mention that our Zoom URL is on the kptz.org website if anybody chooses to join. I still am not kind of ready to take on the phone thing, but if you want to email dj@ kptz.org, John and I are just talking today. It's questions from me. So if you want to join in the questioning, you can shoot me a question at dj@kptz.org. I also want to talk just a little bit for people who maybe don't know how the city government is set up. Is that there are sort of two main forms of city management. There's the strong mayor system and the city manager system. And Port Townsend used to be a strong mayor system where the mayor was elected, and then the mayor then ran the city government. John Kleiss was an elected mayor. But quite some time ago, probably over 20 years ago now, Port Townsend switched to the other form of government, where the mayor is now elected from within city council, and the mayor hires a professional city manager who then has the responsibility to manage the city staff. So John is our city manager, and you essentially report to the city council.
That's correct.
You've
done this in fewer words and with more clarity than I could have. The only slight modification I'd make is that it's not the mayor that hires the city manager. It's really, in this case, it's like the whole.
It's the city council that hires the city. Yeah. You have 7 bosses, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
but 10,000. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Well, that's true. And actually, I was just going to ask a quick question, which is how big is city staff? Because I actually couldn't put a number on that.
We kind of hover above and below 100 FTEs, and that's counting full time equivalents. That's the FTE that the acronymized. But actual numbers of people, particularly when we're operating the pool, were higher because there were a lot of part time staff. Mm-hmm. So I think an easy number to remember is 100.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's a good introduction to Bureaucracy Now, other than just mention it's a pun. But if you're not a KP, if you're a KPTZ listener, I think you get it.
Yeah.
We just finished Amy Goodman's show.
Yeah. Could I also say, too, you did this last time very gracefully and respectfully, and maybe I could take a turn here, too, and just say, you know, Tim was a co-host for a couple of years, you know, and Tim stepped back a little bit for other reasons in his own life. And, you know, here we have this great gift to have Taylor with us here. So if you're missing Tim's voice, don't despair. He's still on the radio, but it's a great opportunity for Taylor to take the helm here.
Yeah, no, and it works out well because I'm doing music at 1 o'clock, and I enjoy talking to you, John. So,
yeah, like
so I actually asked John this week if we could dispense with our normally we have a guest, and I think next week you have a guest planned, right?
Yeah, we do. Our people and performance director Pamela Martinez will be here with us next week.
Okay. And but I wanted to ask some questions, and I thought we would we're not going to discuss pollen, John. Nothing you can do about pollen.
Oh, come on!
You prepared an answer for that question?
No.
Good.
I did not. That's what's fun about it is I don't know what to do about pollen. But
yeah. No, but I wanted to talk about the city council and the city is involved in building a new budget and that will be for the 2023 fiscal year.
That's right.
And you also have a new budget director in house now?
We have a new finance and technology services director.
Thank you.
And a finance manager. So you know, yes. And I think part of what I'm excited about, she was just in my office only a moment ago, you know, we're lucky in the way that I at least interpret the city manager council form of government, and that I'm lucky to do the hiring and firing here. And when I add people to the department director team, it's a great opportunity for us to rethink how we do just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of that group, I can't say enough about. We really wrestle with some tough issues, and one of those is the budget. And ever since I got here, we've been wrestling with a what do we do during COVID kind of budget situation. And it's been a great opportunity for us to find, instead of me just decreeing this is what we're going to do and here's your number and kind of build your budget out, we've really worked and workshopped that through. So I know it's not necessarily the first thing people think about when they think about city government, and it's probably not the sexiest thing for people to talk about budgets, but it's really kind of where the action is, because that's where the city puts its priorities in terms of spending, and it affects the services that everyone depends on.
Well, that was my very next item. A bullet point was priorities, because budgeting is where the rubber meets the road. It's where the priorities get realized. You know, it's like, well, what's important to us now? Where do we put our money?
Yeah, that's right. Rubber hits the road, and like, you know, where the pothole, you know, patch hits the road.
Yeah.
But I think there's also, I mean, this is what's, I get excited about an intelligent and engaged community like Port Townsend, because there's an opportunity for us to do this, not just now, you know, me taking it to department directors and as a city staff to work through the budget with city council, but mm-hmm. to really do that as a community. And I at least have a vision, whether it's realistic or not, I'm not sure, but I have a vision where more people will get involved in our priority making, in our budget making. Because they'll start to realize that it affects all of us and that you actually can have a say in those things. And also the counter to that is that there's a lot of constraints. You know, we're looking at, you know, pretty big increases in costs and responsibilities and really constrained ability to pay for that. So, you know, we have some hard conversations that we go through every year, but they're getting harder. Mm-hmm. So I think it behooves us as a community to know, you know, we can't just take, I got an email not too long ago, like, why don't you take from, you know, your water budget and throw it into potholes. Well, you know,
My next bullet point is.
I'm sorry, Taylor.
No, that's fine. That shows that I was on the right path.
You're on the right track. Yeah. So, I mean, there are literally things that we legally cannot do with certain funding streams.
Yeah.
Because all our utilities, for instance, have to be self-supporting. Basically, they're enterprise funds. So, you know, these things that are not intuitive to people, they think money goes in and you do what you do. But there's a lot of difficulties, constraints, and legal frameworks we have to work with. And I'd rather have that conversation publicly and help people understand what those constraints are so that we can work through those limitations together.
Okay, so what can you kind of briefly outline the buckets? There are these different pieces, and I don't think it's going to be an exhaustive list, but
no, kind of, I probably can't remember it all, frankly, because we have right. A couple dozen specific.
Right, but just give us kind of a flavor for what the buckets are.
Here's a flavor. We'll think of it as ice cream, because it's really expensive ice cream.
All right, we're down at Elevated.
The vanilla, right. Picture yourself down at your local ice cream shop, which may or may not be the closest establishment to City Hall. luckily for me, because I'm an absolute ice cream addict. I'll just out myself here. Picture yourself with the vanilla flavor. The vanilla flavor would be the general fund.
Right.
There's money that comes into the general fund, from property tax and sources that are less constrained. So general fund funds most of city administration, planning with some exceptions, finance, legal, the police. I mean, just most departments are somehow funded by the general fund. Pretty unrestricted to some degree, spending, but that's a big bucket. And I say vanilla because generalized.
Right.
I'm trying to pick a flavor here.
Rocky Road.
Rocky Road, that's a good one. That's perfect, actually, Taylor, because Rocky Road would be those enterprise funds, including, maybe some of the street stuff too, although that comes out of general. But, if you're a water utility, you're operating on the basis of, collecting rates for services for volume of water or wastewater or stormwater, and then running the operation that way. And that's true for a water and a wastewater and stormwater. So, very different. You can't take those utility inputs and use it for the general fund generally. Okay. So there's some do's and don'ts about how to mix the streams and how we have to account for it. All comes out in the audit. We have to show all our books every year and make sure that, or actually every 2 years this year because of state audit's request. That all has to pencil out. So, behind the scenes, it's like there's a lot of intricacies and spreadsheets and accounting software. But on the surface, the story of the community is
good.
We do have decisions to make. We don't have unlimited decisions to make. We can't just take water utility funds and fix potholes or build a street. And then there's probably other things. There's probably outside funding sources that aren't always in our budget when we go for a federal or state grant or get, CARES Act funding or ARPA funding from the federal government. So I don't know if that paints a big enough picture, Taylor. There's plenty more intricacies to each of the budgets. For instance, the library is funded by levy. And so that's property tax. And that comes in specifically for the library, which makes it a sustainable funding source. It also isn't set for inflation. So in some ways, it's kind of declining its purchasing power over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of puts the library in a slightly different category.
Okay. Let me ask you, the budgeting process is a long process. Can you kind of give me an idea what the different parts of that are and then where we are in the process?
Yeah.
And then my follow-up question is going to be about, citizen input.
Okay, cool. I'll try not to blow the cover on that one. No one knows. So it's a great time to talk about process because, I feel like we're just landing in 2022 now, and we really need to be thinking about next year, and arguably further out than that. So, right now, I'll give you two kind of slightly contrasting answers. There's what we do and have to do, and there's what we should do. And they're not that different. For instance, previously, we were required to go through a budget process that kicks off with a city manager's call to department directors for budget. That's kind of in the, early, late summer. I forget the exact statutory deadline, but it's, early, late summer. And then you work through a process of building a budget that eventually comes to city council and needs to be decided by December. And there's a couple other thresholds and milestones along the way, but really the fall is when, we take the inputs, build a budget and get it through at least two readings of city council. There's what we, and then act typically, and what happened my first year is in January, you say, okay, what's our work plan for the year? Here's our budget. What's our work plan?
Mm-hmm.
I've always found that slightly strange because if you're really prioritizing, in your budget, it's probably a good idea to talk about those priorities as part of the work plan before you actually build a budget around it. So my second year here, because I wasn't right in the middle of the process, we decided to do a work plan retreat in July. And so city council
with
and
you and city council and department heads, as I recall.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And actually any member of the public, because it's an open public meeting,
there's
full city council was there. So any member of the public could have could come. Some people did. And we worked through a proposed work plan. Prior to that, and I like literally we were just drafting this today, Mayor Faber and I. We want to put a call out to advisory bodies and the chairs of advisory boards and say, hi, we're going to go through a process of building our work plan. So why don't you, this is paraphrasing, but give us your sense of what the priority should be for next year and tell us what we should keep doing, stop doing, that kind of thing. That letter is not out yet. I just drafted it, but we want to give them a couple months to talk about that. And then they input into the work plan.
Within the context of their community of their advisory board.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So and then the same thing with the community. We want to say, hey, we're building our work plan. What do you think we should do? You know, should we keep putting the brakes on, deer, for instance, or you think, this is the year to go for it? funny one here. And I think all that goes into the input of that almost all day retreat with department directors and city council. And out the other end, at least the last 2 years, has popped a work plan. And, we need to modify and change it over time, but it's kind of a good first cut on what we're going to be up to next year. We map it out over subsequent weeks. And then the budget process starts pretty soon after that. So through the budget process this past year, we said, these are our priorities for each department. These are the priorities for the city. Let's make sure our budget reflects our ability to deliver on those priorities.
So the
not always perfect, but it was a better way of doing it than my first year.
So the department heads know what the priorities are that have been set by the council, and they know what the priorities are that came out of the cross-functional retreat. Would that be a better way to put it?
Yeah.
Okay, and then they try to set their requests in line. They say, hey, I can see that we need to fill more potholes, so maybe we should order an extra dump truck.
For example.
And a dump truck is a big ticket item, as I recall.
A dump truck is a very big ticket item. And there's all this other kind of intricacy to talk through that I'm not super equipped to do so in a way that makes great sense. But, we do cost recovery in budgets. And we actually, for fleet, for instance, each relevant department pays in for a replacement fund to be able to make sure we have the ability to replace fleet and equipment. And so we don't just buy a big dump truck when we need to. We actually plan for it over time, and we're tracking our fleet and age and
That's interesting. So you actually pay in up front rather than spending the money up front and doing it through depreciation, capital depreciation, and asset recovery, that kind of thing?
We do.
I've done a budget.
clearly have. I mean, I guess the main ticket I'm trying to put out to the community is that, we know generally what our fleet priorities are. That's built into how we recover costs, much like other things, that are cross-departmental. So, there's a little bit of planning. I guess what I wanted to make sure is it doesn't sound like, we need a big dump truck. How are we going to plan for that? That's not how it happens. We're kind of thinking a little further down the pike.
Like years down the pike on
that.
So, so the process that you talked about with the retreat, is that going to happen again this July? Is that...
It is, and it's funny. I didn't even think I'd be announcing this now, but if people really want to dust off their calendars for mid-July, I can confirm that the 18th of July, location yet unknown, hopefully it'll be in person.
Yeah.
Last time we did it at the Port Townsend Public Library, will be an open meeting with city council and department directors to talk about our work plan for next year. So anybody is invited to that.
And really, from the standpoint of providing citizen input to the city at a strategic level, as opposed to being particularly on a one hot button topic, that's a good place for somebody to get involved in the process. It's worth it.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think what would be helpful, we now do, and this is a new thing too, we do routine update every quarter to city council in a workshop format, mm-hmm. where we take them through the current work plan and mm-hmm. say, here's how we're doing. And, I don't say everything's fine because it's not very often that everything's just fine. We say, here's where we're ahead of some of our work. Here's where we're behind. Here's why. We fill in the blanks with questions. I actually started color coding things, green, yellow, and red, based on whether they're all systems go on track, whether they're a little off track or whether they're stopped in their tracks. Mm-hmm. And I think that more regular reporting is has been welcomed by council, but hopefully by the community too, because I don't know if we've ever put a work plan out in the public realm saying this is what we're working on. And my goodness, it seems like we should. So the last one we did was April 11th, and you could look the meeting up and find the link. And
I was just going to say it's part of the city manager report in that workshop meeting, so they could go back and look at the minutes. You would have included your notes would actually, you know, what you're speaking to would be in the minutes, correct?
Yeah, we specifically set aside a workshop to present a visual of where we're at with the work plan at the high level. And council gets a chance to workshop with department directors all together on where we're at and why. And it's a really great way to kind of get a flavor for what is the work plan. You know, what kind of high level are we talking, a specific street and a specific pothole? Or are we talking a policy related to how to make sure we have more inclusive and affordable workforce housing? And I think, you know, it's a pro tip. It's a little more the latter than the former. You'll get a sense of what shows up in that work plan. And likely 2023 won't be tremendously different in terms of that kind of scope than this year.
So when you said it's presented quarterly, do you know when your next one is on that, or when maybe I should ask when the last one was, because I'm thinking the interesting thing would be to go back and look at that.
That's right. So I can confirm it was April 11th. And if people can't find it on the website, it's, you know, council meetings. You can see all the agendas, watch the recording. And there's like a presentation there. And if you just click on you could watch the whole thing in a couple hours, or you can just go to the presentation. That was the most recent one, April 11th.
You can also just click on the council. The minutes are, this is, they go to cityofpt. I can't remember your URL.
cityofpt.us.
And then you look for city council, and you look for city council meetings, and they should be listed. Look for April 18th, and you should
that's
find
right.
it. Okay.
And or even better yet, come to the next one. And we haven't decided yet, but the next scheduled quarterly work plan update would be July 11th, which is also a Monday. Happens to be the week before the council retreat and the department director retreat for the next year. So we may or may not do that quarterly update that day, but that's when it would normally come through. It's 3 months from now. We'll do another. Where are we at? We'll do that again, later, toward the end of the year as well.
Can you give me an idea that, that I mentioned earlier that you have that, you know, you report you have seven bosses, you report to city council. And one thing I'm a little unclear on, and it is what's the, you know, we have a city council who are not they're not professional politicians. These are citizens who feel that this is important to them. And they have their priorities, and you have your priorities, from the standpoint of, how do you kind of work those two pieces out?
That's a great question, which probably requires a lot more time.
Oh, and we have 3 minutes. So, damn.
Well, one of the things that's come recently to my attention that I need to be more clear about, which is why I really appreciate the question, is that there, with a council manager form of government,
right?
I'm effectively the CEO,
right.
And
they're the board.
Exactly. Right. I mean, that's the rough kind of comparison. And so politics is not what I do. I don't do politics. And in fact, I don't craft, I help steward policy, but that's really the city council's job. So they do, they're essentially the legislative branch. They run policy through a vote of, whatever it might be. It needs to be at least 4-3 to be adopted policy. And then my team is, through me,
executive,
required to carry that forward. So operationally, there's a lot of, quite a lot of leeway for me to make operational decisions. That's kind of within my job description and my remit. On the policy side of things, that is explicitly city council. So whether it's parking policy, streetery policy, whatever it might be, that is not a decision with some slight exceptions for emergency, orders during COVID, that kind of thing. But almost exclusively is a city council function. It's a legislative function, policy making. So that if there's one thing to say to the public about that is that, we need to delineate between what's a policy decision and what's an operational decision. Mm-hmm. When someone says, I need help with a pothole or a permit. That's an operational thing. That's a city staff thing. Mm-hmm. When someone says, I don't like,
street reads.
I don't like street reads, or I don't like, you know, whatever it might be. That's a policy decision, and that needs to come forward to city council.
Yeah. Well, I am, I was going to discuss streeteries, parking, yeah, trees, and pollen.
And here we are.
But we spent the entire 25 minutes on budget and providing strategic input into the city and the budgetary process. And I think that's actually a good thing to spend the time on, because it sounds like, you know, the other stuff is somehow hotter buttoned. But this sounds like it's really in some ways more important.
Yeah, I think we got to set the table for how people see the bigger picture and actually can plug in. Mm-hmm. And it's my hope that we don't want a budget or a work plan to just sort of sail through without some public dialogue. I mean, ideally, this would be a big event. People would want to come out, partake in a conversation. We do it all together, and I think I look forward to kind of building that. As a community, more engagement in how we set our priorities and set our budget.
Yeah. Well, will there be free food?
Oh, man. Will we have COVID still? I mean,
that's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, even if it's on Zoom, this is still something the public should attend. And I didn't mean to make light of it. I do think this is.
I think you capture people with food. We also have rules about gifting of public funds and asking for
food. Oh, right.
That kind of thing. But I think, to get to the other points you raised here that we were going to talk about, you could roll the tapes on the most recent stakeholder advisory group meeting on Sims Gateway. Mm-hmm. It just happened this week. Next one, you can watch. It's May 10th. You can go to the Parks, Trees, Trails Advisory Board meeting on mm-hmm. the 24th, at 4:30. So there's ways to get answers to those questions by getting engaged.
Yeah, and actually provide input into that process. So this is good. We did not, I have been checking the email, we did not get any questions. I encourage listeners to please send those in the future. And I'm going to say, John, thank you for tackling, a big topic there with the budget and with strategic priorities and that sort of stuff. I think it's good stuff.
Great. Well, thank you. And any questions, anybody can feel free to send me an email. I'll either answer directly or make sure a team member can do that. JMauro@cityofpt.us. And maybe we'll see you here next week.
And we would love to see you here next week. So I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, John, for attending. And I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Great to see you, Taylor. Thanks so much.
Have some coffee.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Bye.